Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Tuesday afternoon here in Nashville. And we always enjoy our conversations with our next guest, Peter Burns. His work can be found on SEC Network and does a really, really good job. And we always like talking with Peter, and he is now on the line with us. Peter, how you doing?
Damn, today's Tuesday? I didn't even know that, boys. I appreciate it. I feel like it is one of those days where you have to kind of check your phone every other day. I mean, these last 3 months, man, it's like we're living in a 30 for 30 that's being written, and a new episode comes out every stinking day right now. It's crazy.
You are so right about that. I'll tell you what, the days have been confusing. They're certainly in this category, but, Peter, I mean, I truly have to look at my phone for the date. Like, I have no – I'm pretty good about maybe knowing what month we're in, but, like, the right. actual date – I've got no chance unless I look at my phone. No chance.
Yeah, and it's weird because, you know, traditionally in sports, I mean, especially for us at SEC Network, we're on this Groundhog Day as far as when our calendar is, right? Like, I always look at it going, right now I would be in Omaha for the College World Series, and a couple of weeks ago I would have been in Hoover for, you know, SEC Baseball Championships, or I would have been in Destin for SEC meetings. And when all of that stuff gets wiped out, you sit around and go, what are we doing today? And now, at least, we traditionally would look forward to SEC media days, and, you know, we will have that, but that's going to look a whole lot different than it ever has before because of this as well, guys.
I know. I mean, and we're supposed to host it here in Nashville next year, and, I mean, who knows what? Hopefully it'll be fine, but, I mean, truly, who knows how this is all going to play out. I heard you do an interview recently with SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, and he's been on the show many times. He's been very good about being accessible over the years, and that's appreciative to have a guy, a leader of a big, powerful conference like the SEC that makes himself, you know, accessible and out there. And I thought you did a really good job with his interview, and he's just so thought-provoking, right? I mean, you can just tell he listens to your questions. He thinks about it with really good answers. He's a smart guy who has a lot of interest. And you hit him with some topics that, you know, like, for example, the Mississippi State flag, which has become now a really big story, and just how he is willing to kind of go down the road and give you a little background, give you a little history, and answer your question.
Yeah, and again, I do appreciate that of Commissioner Sankey, but, you know, it was one of those deals where when, you know, they made the announcement from the SEC Twitter page about, hey, you know, that they would look at precluding the state of Mississippi if they didn't change the state flag, you know, I tracked them down. I said, hey, you got to come on. Like, I have to talk to you about this because this is something you can't just put out in a tweet. You have to kind of give the rationale behind it. You know, and I appreciate you listening to the interview. And it was clear that it was something that he felt like they should have done prior. They should have done it before. And that while they couldn't change the timeline of it, it was important for them to do that and at least put a little bit more pressure on the state to change the flag. Now, what's interesting, guys, is that it wasn't until the NCAA came out the following day and said, we're taking it one step further. You're not going to be able to host baseball, you know, regionals and super regionals and basketball. You know, Mississippi State has had a great women's basketball squad. They wouldn't be able to host first round games, to where that kind of amplified it a little bit more. But going one step further, it wasn't until Kylan Hill, the Mississippi State running back yesterday, put out his tweet saying, I'm not sure if I even want to play for the state unless the flag is changed, that really may put an onus on the state government.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. That's exactly, you led me right to the follow-up. I mean, how much do you think, how powerful is Kylan Hill's comments going to be for this movement, you know, to change the state's flag?
It's huge for this reason. It's huge for the timing of it. What I mean by that is that, you know, even with the SEC saying that, you know, hey, they wouldn't have SEC championships, it wasn't like state of Mississippi was getting the SEC football championship, or, you know, baseball was always done in Hoover, Alabama, or even, you know, basketball, there wasn't going to be a basketball tournament there. But the NCAA, at least they said, hey, you're not going to be able to host. But all of those events were normally traditionally hosted in March or April of next year. So you could have this upcoming election cycle, you know, in November, and you could say, all right, well, we'll deal with the flag after the election. Kylin Hill saying, I'm not playing football right now. And I've heard from people at Mississippi State, at Ole Miss, and people over at other Mississippi schools that not affiliated with the SEC going, there is some momentum that Kylin's not going to be the only person to say that. And the difference is now Mississippi State legislature needs to address this ASAP before college football season starts. And, you know, the NCAA didn't make them do that because they would have to just – they could kick the can down until March. Now you're not going to be able to just wait until after the election to handle the deal. So Kylin Hill's the most important tweet really maybe of this entire offseason right now.
Yeah, it's interesting for people to shake their head and say, oh, it'll never happen. We just had Jamie Little on last hour, who is NASCAR on Fox, and she was right in the middle of all their coverage from Talladega this weekend and yesterday, and of course the Bubba Wallace story and the movement yesterday before the race. And you know, there's a lot of people, by the way, the Confederate flag issue involving NASCAR has been out there for a long time, and there's been a lot of people that said that'll never go away, you'll never do that, and NASCAR has, they have stepped up. So for people who think that, you know, they roll their eyes or shake their heads, oh, Mississippi's not going to change their state flag, I would say you might want to look around. Some things are changing around us. Be surprised.
Well, keep in mind, South Carolina used to fly, the Confederate flag, the state capital, and then Governor Nikki Haley, a Republican governor a couple of years ago after the shooting in Charleston, said enough's enough, we're not flying it anymore. So that changed. I mean, NASCAR, boom, look, they snapped their fingers, they changed. And yet Mississippi does not want to. And now they could potentially look at not only losing SEC hosting opportunities, losing any type of NCAA hosting opportunities. And you know that if all of a sudden a bunch of student athletes says, I don't feel comfortable in this state right now, I want to transfer. You know, after the NCAA took their stance, that they would grant every single one of these athletes immediate eligibility elsewhere. But what happens if all of a sudden you've got 60 athletes from these public universities in the state of Mississippi that don't want to play because of the state flag? Is the state of Mississippi willing to do that and live in the dark ages? It's sad to say that they might, and that's scary.
That is a great point. I mean, if you really want to nip this in the bud, in my opinion, have the NCAA come out and say, you know what, if players aren't comfortable playing there, that state, you can walk. You can go wherever you want. And oh, by the way, what kind of message would that send to recruiting classes down the road about wanting to go play in the state of Mississippi? That could also not only affect them now, but moving forward. I think, well, once again, that's pressure being applied.
The crazy part about it is there's 8 public universities in the state of Mississippi. Not a single one of those 8 fly the state flag on campus. So, I mean, so the question is that if you're that embarrassed of what the flag has become that you're not willing to have it fly on your public universities, why not just change it? It seems like a no-brainer. And I've talked to people at Mississippi State and Ole Miss, and people have said, why the hell hasn't this been changed already? They're in favor of it. The athletes are in favor of it. The university presidents are in favor of it. It's just you have politicians that are afraid going into an election cycle that their constituents will look down upon them for making this change. And that's kind of scary, frankly, in 2020.
No doubt. Peter Burns, SEC Network, on the line with us. We're seeing a real shift in power for student-athletes, and we're seeing stories come out that, I don't think I've seen in my lifetime, because we've always talked about the coaches have all the cards stacked in their favor, and these student-athletes really don't have any power, and now they're kind of taking that power and along the lines of some of the things we're talking about. I mean, to see what happened at Florida State, to see what happened at Clemson, to see what happened at Oklahoma State, what we've just talked about with Kylin Hill, they're speaking out. Liberty just had 2 players to say they want to transfer over racial insensitivity. And so I don't think this is another element that's interesting, Peter, where these players are sitting there, they're calling out their head coaches, which is pretty interesting.
Well, they've always had this power. They have just never understood collectively as a group that they had this power. And I said it a couple of months ago over on my ESPN radio show on Sundays, is that, and I thought, and this is before really the pandemic had started, I was talking about name, image, and likeness. And I said, hey, if all of a sudden Justin Fields, you know, quarterback at Ohio State, and Trevor Lawrence, quarterback at Clemson, said, you know what, we're not taking to the field this year unless we get our name, image, and likeness, you'd probably have a bunch of other players go, yeah, I agree. Absolutely. And you would have a collective group of saying, we're not playing college football unless we get our name, image, and likeness rights. Well, naturally, it's going to happen. This, you know, they will get these rights within a year. But now we're seeing these players understand it, whether it be the pandemic or it has something to do with racial inequality and social injustice. They're understanding that they have a lot more power than they ever even never even knew at their fingertips.
Peter Burns is with us. And Peter, you appreciate college baseball more than some. I just envision Ole Miss and Mississippi State, places that have amazing baseball atmospheres and home field advantages, for that matter, not being able to host a regional or a super regional, that's got impact right there.
Well, it's not fair to Mike Bianco and Chris Lemonis and all of the coaches that have put together an unbelievable team, and Duty Noble's a great home field advantage for Mississippi State. Same thing with Swayze Field and even the Hump. Even though Vic Schaefer now is coaching women's hoops in Texas, is that, you know, not be able to host. It's not only for the student athletes that I feel bad for, but also think about the economy. I mean, think about, you know, not being able to get 13,000 in your stadium 3 days in a row simply because, you know, you had a politician that didn't have a backbone to make the change that needed to be changed. So, again, the dollars and cents of it makes perfect sense. Now, listening to student athletes, that makes perfect sense. And, I mean, listen, again, when you can look at NASCAR, a sport that traditionally I feel has sometimes been behind the times on things, and see how progressive they've gotten, and boom, they snap their fingers, and what a great moment that was to watch Bubba Wallace in the race yesterday at Talladega. If all of a sudden you can flip the switch like that, why can't you do it for other common sense causes?
Well, I think Darren touched on this earlier, but I think also the collective thought of recruits and African-American athletes on those campuses, if they collectively put it out there, I mean, think about the strength that they have to get a state legislation to change their thinking, right? Because people like to win, right? Fans of those schools like to be successful, and that carries a lot of weight. I'm really curious to see how quickly that might be able to change how people think. If they can continue to band together, if there are more Kylan Hills out there that come forward and join him, right? I would have to think that this could be addressed pretty quick.
And it's not even the Kylan Hill situation, but you're right. If all of a sudden some players transfer, don't think in the world of recruiting that other coaches or other recruiting coordinators across the country will be like, are you sure? If you're picking between us and a Mississippi school, are you sure you want to do that? I mean, you see what's going on. The state doesn't even want to change the flag on your, you know, And I'm not sure if that's the right fit for you. And the same can be said too. I mean, there's a lot of people that questioned Mike Gundy and his apologies. And like, well, is Mike Gundy apologizing for what happened, or is he doing that because he knows that affects the recruiting and that all of a sudden, you know, somebody might say, well, you need to go to Oklahoma instead of Oklahoma State, and that's why you need to apologize. And yeah, at the end of the day, I think we're all becoming a little bit more aware. And I hate the word woke. I mean, woke is such a you see all these fraudsters that use this, oh, you're so woke and whatnot. No, that's just educating yourself a little bit more to things you're not having experience and opening your mind a little bit more. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to ever apologize for trying to be smarter about a topic that I didn't know a whole heck of a lot about.
Well, I can remember being a sideline reporter for Vanderbilt going down to Ole Miss during a time where Tommy Tuberville made a strong case, and I think he won the case, of, hey, we're not bringing the Confederate flags into the stadium. They had a compromise where they had an altered flag that looked sort of similar, but he was smart enough to realize. He had just been down there. They had some NCAA sanctions. He was trying to build it up. He did a very good job there. And he fought that battle, right? And I think part of it was motivated by he wanted to win.
Well, and again, and I think that's collectively when I talk to people in the state of Mississippi, from whether they're at Ole Miss or Southern Miss or Mississippi State, whether they're old or young, whether they're in sports or not, they all look at it and go, listen, are we better off as a state? And are we better off as an athletic department, as a team, still having this outdated flag, or are we better off making a change? And, you know, and it's not even my opinion. When I talk to them unequivocally, everyone has said, well, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Can we just hurry up and get it done? So, and if they don't get it done, at least Kylan Hill's tweet now has put some pressure on the politicians of that state. And now it's even more of a blueprint that student athletes understand that, hey, collectively as a group, they have a lot more power than they ever thought that they had in previous times.
Peter, before we let you go, what is your sense of how collectively we're moving ahead for the football season? How confident are you right now? I know in my mind I can go different directions on different days depending on what you read in terms of the cases and everything. I know they're trying really hard, but what's your vision of what do you think it'll look like when the season gets going here?
It's crazy. It's like a roller coaster. You know, some days you feel like you're on the way up and everything's good, and then all of a sudden you see more news and it goes down. It's kind of like now we're in the corkscrew area where we're just going around and around and we don't know where the hell we're at. I mean, we're seeing a lot more explosion of positive tests, but are we seeing more deaths, more hospitalizations? They're trying to figure that out. And the one thing, and I've changed my mind on this. At first, I thought, well, we might be coming back a little too early, but I realized the more and more I talked to people across not just the SEC but college football, it was a good way that you could find out all the positives. You can find out more of how these explosion of cases right now, as opposed to had you try to bring everybody back at the same time in mid-July and not understand the roadmap on how to deal with it. And there is no perfect answer at this point because the changes, I mean, Commissioner Sankey said they've got 20 different scenarios for the season right now, and that changes day to day. So, you know, I still think that we will have college football in the fall. I would like to say that we have fans in the stands, but that seems to be decreasing every single day, or at least the amount of people every single day. And Dr. Fauci came out today and testified saying that it's not a matter of if they'll have a vaccine. They think it's a matter of when, and it'll either be later this year or first part of next year, which in my mind all of a sudden thinks, hey, is a last case scenario possibly having some type of football in the spring? I mean, it changes day to day. I wish I had an answer for it, but again, it seems like every day I wake up, what day is it, and what's our news for today?
I know my stomach when I was younger could handle the corkscrew rides, but I can't do those corkscrew roller coasters anymore. Can't do it. By the way, really nice on the way out, a really nice gesture by the SEC to honoring Edward Ashoff with the internship for communications. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I'll leave you with this too. If you get a chance, go to the SEC Networks page. The last feature that our buddy Ed ever put together before he passed last year was a great feature on Clyde Edwards-Helaire and, you know, why he has a hyphenated last name. And it's just a really strong, strong part of storytelling and just kind of who exactly Ed Ashoff was. And Ed's one of those voices I would have loved to have had weighing in on this because he's one of the smartest guys I ever met. So if you get a chance, go appreciate Ed's work, and I'll leave you with that. So
good end to the interview. Peter, really appreciate your time as always. Continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Indeed. Talk to y'all soon.
All right, Peter Burns, SEC Network and ESPN. We always enjoy our chats with him. When we come back, we've got an announcement to make, and it involves an SEC school. What could we be talking about? We'll tell you about it on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Really good conversations today. Michael Russo got things started in the first hour of the program. Big time talk with Jamie Little today. You just heard Peter Burns. We've covered a lot of ground. We had Duck Clawson on, who we talked about that article with him. We've covered a lot of angles today. And we're going to cover one more angle. Willie, I want you to listen up because I suspect that this should get your attention. The Vanderbilt Commodores have a new home on the radio dial. Do you hear?
I have heard.
Did you know that?
I did know.
Yeah.
Good news. Very good news.
It is good news. Oh, geez, I wonder why we're bringing it up. Because Vandy has announced just in the last, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, that they've got a new flagship station, a new radio partner, and that is indeed us, Cromwell Media, And we're very, very excited about it. ESPN 102.5 The Game, ESPN 94.9, and 93.3 Classic Hits. Okay, and that's where you can find Vanderbilt football this upcoming season and the men's basketball games. They will be broadcast on 93.3 The Hits, Classic Hits, and also streamed on the web. There will be additional programming here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, which will include daily Vanderbilt athletic updates, weekly broadcasts with Commodore radio announcer, longtime voice Joe Fisher, and it'll be called This Week in Vanderbilt History segments as well. So a lot of things on our plate, and we're excited to tell everybody that this is your new home for Vanderbilt football and Vanderbilt men's basketball on 93.3 Classic Hits. So there you go.
Well, Darren, I've we've thought about this for so long, right? We have been doing shows on three different stations in our careers, and there's always a musical chairs of what teams you partner up with, and can you have two at the same time? We've seen, situations in the past where we've had Vanderbilt and the Predators in a couple of different places.
Yep.
Right? And it's never been an easy thing because there's a lot of games that go on at the same time. And I know plenty of times I would love to be at Memorial Gym, but I'm at Bridgestone Arena, you know? So this is a great opportunity that we have with 93.3, which, number one, I love the music. It's right in my wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah.
But it reminds me a lot of when the Predators came over to the Buzz, right? You're going to have a consistent spot where you can hear all of the games. And now when you put it with our family of stations and what programming that's going to open up for Vanderbilt, I think it's going to be a really good partnership. So I'm excited about it.
So there you go. Everybody should be excited about it. And you're right. We have been at a stop that had both the Predators and Vanderbilt in the past. So two different spots, actually. That's a good
two
point.
Two other spots. Right?
That's a really good point.
And so there was always, which station goes where. And I know in this day and time, there's a lot of evolution that's taken place, right, with the ability to listen, streaming and things like that, right? It makes it a little easier. So you don't have to be on the old AM that booms out to 33 states necessarily, right, to have your games be accessible to your fans. But I think people want consistency. That was a problem before, right? Is mm-hmm. On this day with these two teams are playing, your game is over here and then your game's over here. And I think that's what's worked out really well here is you're going to have consistency with Vanderbilt and the Predators, but they're going to be under the same umbrella, just like Middle Tennessee, right? So we've got it all covered, and I think that's going to be exciting. Plus Nashville SC, you think about all the teams we have partnerships with, pretty good stuff to have the relationship with all these teams and schools.
Pretty good indeed. And so we're excited to welcome Vanderbilt Athletics, the football team, and the men's basketball programming to our airwaves and under the Cromwell Media umbrella. So that is awesome. Wanted to put that out there. And of course, it will all start this upcoming football season because they'll be the first ones out of the gates. I was just reading this from Mike Garofalo from Bleacher Report on Twitter. He said, the Seahawks and Ravens have had internal discussions about potentially signing Antonio Brown this season. How desperate do you have to be at this point? I'm not buying Antonio Brown is playing again in the league. I'll have to see it to believe it. Although you may have said
those
the same
teams
thing
don't,
about Gronkowski.
When you say those teams, they don't sound like desperate teams to me. So, that's interesting that it's those teams.
Well, they're teams that obviously
they feel like
they're
going to win. If they get a chance to win.
Right.
So can he put them over the top? It's just like the Patriots. They rolled the dice and they came up empty.
Do you believe he's playing in the league? I just don't see it.
I don't either. But stranger things have happened.
And at what price? I mean, he just doesn't seem like the type that you can get in. Nobody's going to pay him big bucks. Nobody's going to overpay for him. And he just doesn't seem like the type that's coming in on a team-friendly deal, as they call it.
But there will be somebody, there might be somebody that says, if he'll take the league minimum, I'm not saying he would, but somewhere close to that, is it a worthy gamble to try? Do you want that headache? There might be one. I don't know.
That's what I'm getting at, though. He does not fit the profile of a guy that's signing up for league minimum. I mean,
no.
Yeah, that you're basically removing all the risk. He comes in on the cheap, and if it doesn't work out, you can do what the Patriots always do. It doesn't matter what time of the what portion of the year it is. Goodbye, you know. See you later, and you can do that. But he does not seem like the type that is going to sign for something like that. I don't know. Maybe things have changed now that he's kind of been out of the spotlight a little bit, but I don't know. I don't see it. I don't think he gets it. I don't know why anybody would sign up for that headache. I don't know. And I get it. The Seahawks could use a number one receiver, and the Ravens can always use another weapon for their quarterback.
Part of it, too, is what will Antonio Brown do, if anything, to try to push forward and say, here's what I've got my act together now. I've made some mistakes, but I'm ready to be a different person. I'm ready to focus on football, whatever the case may be. Does he try to do that? Because I think that's got to be it, right? You got to convince somebody that you're not going to be a complete pain. Is what happened with the Raiders. That was just a joke. It became ridiculous.
Well, he's had two places since the Steelers, and it's ended pretty abruptly. True?
Well, yeah, factually.
That's not an opinion.
I mean, it's not an opinion. I mean, that is what happened. So, I don't know where all of the other, some of the allegations, you know, some of the things that were put out there with him and women, I don't know if any of that is still outstanding or that's been resolved. I don't know, but that's out there, right? It's not just the goofiness that happened on the field, not showing up to practice and the stuff with the helmet and all that stuff. It's what happened off the field.
Yep.
I don't know where all that stands right now.
There's a lot of layers to Antonio Brown, which
yeah. and a lot of it makes you want to say, well, it's just not worth the trouble.
Well, the only reason he even is in the discussion is because of how talented he is on the field. I mean, if he was not
sure
the top-tier receiver that he is, I mean, who's kidding who? We would never be having these discussions. Everybody would have closed the book on him a while back and said, yeah, dude, go figure out how to do things right off the field first.
And is he eligible in the league? Wasn't he suspended at one point, like, Is his suspension over, or what is his status? Is he a free agent, free to be signed by anybody at this point? Or is that subject to suspension if he does sign with somebody?
Is that subject to the league then clearing him if he were to get signed? I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know what his status is.
Because remember, Kareem Hunt had the whole thing happen,
yep.
And he had to – you know, so basically the Browns, is it the Browns that signed him?
Yeah, and then he had to sit out.
Knowing that he's going to be sitting out for a while, but it's, hey, down the road, we're going to give him a second chance, and we're going to get him for pennies on the dollar, and we might get somebody that's pretty good. Hopefully he's learned from what happened before.
I wonder, speaking of the Ravens, what the conversations have been like this week with John Harbaugh, the coach, and his star quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson says, we might have taken the Titans lightly. John Harbaugh was quick to respond. We didn't take the Titans lightly. No, 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 no. And we just didn't play well. Which, you know, right, that stuff drives coaches absolutely crazy.
Right, because the next time they play, you know that those quotes are going to be all over the Titans locker room. Right? Oh, you took us lightly before. Oh, okay. I see.
You know, the minute
that can be spun
out,
very easily.
John Harbaugh's like, are you kidding me? Did he really
come
just say that? Right. Come on, man. Like, really? You can't say that. Even if you believe it, you can't say that. You can't say that out loud. And especially when you get drilled in the game. I mean, come on.
But also, when you've not really been past that round before,
right.
Why would you take anybody lightly?
Right.
You know, that's a...
What have you accomplished in the playoffs as the quarterback?
Yeah. Well, that's a mistake to begin with. Not only because of what it's going to motivate, what it's going to do to motivate the other team, but also, like, why would you take anybody lightly who's made it to the division round and just beat the Patriots?
Yeah. Things that don't make a lick of sense to me. And like I said, I'd love to know the conversation the next time John and Lamar are together in an office. They can do that. How that conversation goes down.
They'll have that conversation, but also, if they were to have a conversation, I wonder how Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh feel about Antonio Brown. Would that be a no-go? Would that be a, hey, what if? Would that be a, let's go get this guy? I don't know. That'd be an interesting thing to know as well. It's not like, I mean, they had one of the most productive offenses in recent history without Antonio Brown, right? Why do they really need him?
There's no question, man. But a lot of it was predicated on running the football.
Right, but it opened up some pretty nice passing stats too, right? I mean, they had guys running free all over the place. Those guys, you know, those tight ends were averaging like 15 yards a catch, if not more. Right, just because nobody was covering them.
So I'm looking at something. It's a sportsbook Fox Bet. Favorites to land Jamal Adams in a trade. Have you seen this?
There's no.
Six teams listed. Six teams.
Well, the Cowboys have got to be on there.
Favorites
right?
to land Jamal Adams in a trade. Cowboys. They are third plus 400.
What?
Third plus 400. Marquise, have you seen this list?
I have not.
Okay, if you want to weigh in, Willie just threw out Dallas. Favorites to land Jamal Adams in a trade, according to Fox Bet, the sportsbook Fox Bet.
If you said six, Texans got to be last.
Bet. So this is not Jimmy. So this is not Jimmy.
This is not Jimmy.
Jimmy reserves the right to disagree.
He sure can. He can have his own odds, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So you said who?
I said the Texans. They got to be last on that list.
The Texans have to be last on the list?
Yeah.
Why do you feel they have to be last on the list?
Because when I looked on Adam Schefter's original teams, that a lot of them were, you know, better caliber teams, with the exception of the Browns and the Texans.
The Texans are plus 250. They are the favorite.
Really?
They are the favorite, according to Fox Bet, to land Jamal Adams in a trade. The Texans. Okay.
Okay.
Do they have any draft picks left?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Do they have any? What assets are they giving up to get them? That's my point.
Well, I don't know. Knowing Bill O'Brien, maybe he'll trade Deshaun Watson so they don't have to pay him. I don't know.
That's true. Probably true. I'll say the Browns is on there as well.
Browns. Not on the list.
No, okay.
Willie.
Saints.
Saints. Not on the list.
Seahawks.
Sixth. Plus 675. So they are sixth. So you've got Houston at one. Dallas, the third best odds. Seattle, the sixth best odds.
Las Vegas Raiders.
The Las Vegas Raiders. When in doubt, of course. Go with Mayock and Gruden. Not on the list.
Ooh.
I was hoping that was on the list. For my sake, I was hoping that was on the list.
As a Raiders fan.
In the name of they're going for it, how about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay. Their defense was pretty darn good last year. They beefed up the offense. Not on the list.
Really? How about the Ravens?
The Ravens. When in doubt, go with the Ravens. They seem to be always interested in a trade. Not on the list. You're missing a team that, for whatever reason, seems to always be involved in trade rumors. And a lot of times, they actually do trade a lot. That's number two. That team is number two on the list that I'm talking about. They seem to trade a lot. In fact, they've traded with the Titans several times.
Several times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, who could that be?
And it has worked out for the Titans both times. They fleeced them.
Oh.
Both times.
Eagles.
The Philadelphia Eagles, plus 325, second on the list.
Huh. Okay.
Texans 1,
that's
Eagles
second.
2, Dallas 3. You're missing 4 and 5. Seattle is 6th.
How about the Arizona Cardinals?
The Arizona Cardinals, are they on
hungry
the list
to win
as favorites to land Jamal Adams in a trade? No, they are not. Both are AFC teams. There's your hint. Both are AFC teams. This is according to Fox Bet Sportsbook.
All right, well, then let's go with the Colts.
Well, why not? There's already been one AFC South team on there, the Colts. Not on the list.
Colts not on the list.
Let's go with the Chargers.
Chargers, they are indeed in the AFC, and they are not on the list.
We're running out of teams. We've guessed most of the teams in the conference.
The Titans cannot be on this list.
I mean, there's no way the Jets are trading him within the division. So that's got to eliminate the AFC East. At least that's my way of thinking.
It is the Jets. Remember that. So keep that in mind.
It is the Jets, but they're not trading him in the division. They're not that dumb, are they?
No.
Are they dumb enough to trade him within the division and
no,
trade him to the Patriots?
Dumb enough to do anything.
Are they going
to
trade him to the Patriots?
You're right. The Jets and Patriots have never struck a deal. Never.
That's not exactly true, but
exactly. I know.
Broncos?
Broncos. They have tried to beef up their defense, but they are not on the list. The Cincinnati Bengals are 4th on the list at plus 550.
Why?
I have no earthly idea.
That is a great question.
Aren't they going to stink? Right? Cincinnati's going to stink. So
is it because LSU ties or something? I don't
maybe
get it.
Maybe Joe Burrow has asked them to trade for Jamal Adams. I don't know. Favorites to land Jamal Adams in a trade, according to Fox Bet Sportsbook. The Texans, number 1. Eagles, number 2. Cowboys, number 3. The Bengals, number 4. Seattle, number 6. And the 5th team, the team that has the 5th best odds to land Jamal Adams in a trade, according to Fox Bet, is indeed the Tennessee Titans at plus 600. That's the only reason I brought this up, because I was like, what?
It's never crossed my mind.
Has that been out there anywhere? Have I missed that? Have the Titans, Marquise, it sounds like you've looked at other lists. Were the Titans on that list?
No, when Adam Schefter originally tweeted in the 7 teams that were on there, the Titans weren't on that list at all. Not even
mentioned.
So
what's the rationale? You know, they got a pretty good thing going at safety right now.
That's why I brought it up. I'm just as surprised as you guys. I would have never said Cincinnati, and I would have never said the Titans.
There's just no way. It just doesn't fit, I don't think. I would love to see a write up of, you know, how, you know, Joe Vegas put that together.
Like I said, that's coming from a sports book. So they must feel like the Titans are in the running to have odds on them. They only pick six teams.
Can he play defensive back? I mean, can he play corner at all? Is he a versatile enough guy?
He's a safety, right? I mean, come on.
That's what I thought. So I don't know how you move the pieces around if you get him.
What do you have to give up to get him?
Right. That's a huge question. And then you got to sign him, right? And we know that with the contract of Tannehill already in place and what you are eventually going to hit Henry with, is that where you want to put your resources? I don't know.
And that would eliminate Clowney, that's for sure.
You would think.
You're not getting Clowney and Adams and re-signing Henry to a contract, right?
Now, I'm not
doing
here to
all
tell
three
you
of
that,
those.
I don't know if Adams is a guy that you can move to the slot corner or this, you know, maybe Kenny Vaccaro is not, you know, not long for the job or something. But, I mean, they had a really good thing going with Vaccaro and Byard there. I wouldn't think you would go out of your way to mess with that.
Thought it was very interesting. So just thought I would pass that along. Titans are fifth on the list. The Texans, the number one team to land him. And the Colts actually not being on that list. All right, we will come back and close up shop for this Tuesday here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, if you own or manage a small business, you're open, you want to let people know about it, we've got Free Business Friday as we sit here on this Tuesday afternoon. It's going to give you an opportunity for some free advertising to any local business out there that's safely open and working. That's a no-cost, no-catch offer to you. You can go to thegamenashville.com/FBF, thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. Free Business Friday is our way of supporting small businesses as we get through this together. It's been a lot of fun doing that on Fridays. Also, the announcement that Cromwell Media, us, we have teamed up with Vanderbilt Athletics, and 93.3 Classic Hits will be the new home starting this season for Vanderbilt football. That is under our Cromwell Media umbrella. And also, they will carry the men's basketball games. We will carry other types of programming that Joe Fisher will be involved with here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9. So just wanted to put that out there. This is going to be your new home for Vanderbilt football and men's basketball. A little fun thing on the way out the door, Willie. I'm going to lay this one in your lap.
Well, you and I have had Mark Lazarus on many times before, the fine writer that covers the Chicago Blackhawks. And he did something fun. You know, we're all being creative on how we're putting together sports writing and sports talk shows and all this stuff. So what he did is he got all the NHL mascots, as many as he could get anyway. I don't think the entire league participated. But he got a huge number of them. And he had an anonymous poll. And it was hilarious, some of the feedback that he got, because he asked a bunch of questions. But it's noteworthy because they asked all of the NHL mascots, who is the best mascot other than yourself? And guess who got the most votes? There's a reason I'm putting it out there.
Probably that crazy dude in Philly. I guess Gritty, since he gets more attention than anybody, seems like. Maybe for all the wrong reasons.
It was not Gritty. In fact, Gritty got no votes. There was one vote for not Gritty.
Oh, really? Okay, so yes. I like that. So they're a little...
So it was an anti-Gritty vote.
Okay. All right. So now we know how the mascots feel about
Gritty. This is an interesting part of the piece. This is an interesting part of the piece I'll get to in a moment regarding Gritty. Because, as we know, Gritty has become an overnight, out of nowhere, he's everywhere you look, right?
Right.
But the one that got the most votes was our own Nash.
Oh.
And it wasn't even close.
You didn't even let me guess.
Well, you know where I was going with it.
Yeah, I did. Well, I figured.
You're not surprised, are you?
No, but I was going to say, since Mark Lazarus is saying this, it's going to be then maybe Tommy Hawk. But then my real guess was going to be Nash.
Is definitely in there. Yeah, Tommy Hawk, you can tell, is part of this for sure. And so they're all anonymous. But here's some, a couple of – this, to me, is really important because we should appreciate how good Nash is, really. You know, it's one thing to get voted as a fan poll and stuff because the fans love him and everything like that, but these are his peers and voting on – they watch everybody, right? So this is important insight, I think. He got six votes, and nobody else got more than two.
Oh, wow.
So Nash –
so he ran away with
it. Clearly was the guy. Oh, yeah, ran away with it.
Nice. Very nice.
And then some of the comments by the various mascots are sort of tongue-in-cheek, but also appreciative as well. Nash, for his looks and personality, he's a pretty smooth cat. He's been around since prehistoric times, and his seniority shows. But there's definitely a respect there. He also got by far the most votes as best dancer among the mascots.
That's a gift.
He got nine votes. Tommy Hawk got three. Nobody else got more than two.
Wow. So Nash in a runaway.
A runaway.
Which, you know, not surprising anybody here, but considering I'm thinking, you know, why are you bringing up something Mark Lazarus, so it's got to be Tommy Hawk? Or, you know, freaking Gritty, because, like you said, he's everywhere. But, wow, that's really cool that he brought this up and did this, and Nash was the runaway winner. That's awesome.
Runaway winner in best overall and best dancer. Marquise wants to know about Bailey, the L.A. Kings mascot. He won one category far and away, and it was worst dancer.
What worst dancer? Who was the worst?
Worst dancer.
What? Come
who
on.
Got the, did he get the most votes for worst dancer?
By far. Bailey with six votes got worst dancer. One comment was Bailey. His only dance move is sleeping. Bailey, his go-to move is literally laying down. Bailey, that West Coast cat has four left paws. So apparently Bailey just can't dance.
That's hilarious.
Now, this is the most fun one we can end on. This won't surprise anybody. Most overrated.
Well, clearly, after what you just said, it's got to – then now this is where Gritty comes into play.
Yes, Gritty got 13 votes.
Yeah, wow.
the most votes anybody got in one category.
Speaking of runaway.
Right. And so the point was he does a very good job. Right, but you can. Some of these mascots are like, hey, a lot of mascots do what he does, but they don't get the attention he does. So, how he got all the attention definitely is being noted. He does deserve some of the attention, but he's definitely the league's favorite son. In all honesty, he does an awesome job of performing for the Flyers faithful. His online content is funny. I respect the big guy's work, but I also think there's other mascots left in the dark who are just as skillful as funny.
Gosh, I could kind of hear an overrated chant in the background when you're reading
overrated. Yeah, for Gritty.
With people clapping. All right, good stuff. That was fun on the way out. Congratulations, Nash. Well-deserved. Runaway best mascot.
Nice to be recognized among your peers.
Yeah, that's according to the other mascots. That's outstanding. All right, that'll do it for us. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.